Hello, and welcome to the start of a six-session series for Hearts of Wulin, which is taking on the Fantastic Playbook and all of the sort of fantastic play sets and so on. And just this last week, I added in some new things. We added some add-ons for the Villain Playbook, and then we also added the Celestial Playbook, which is kind of in process that we're figuring out about. So my name is Lowell, pronouns he, him, and I am going to kind of get started with what this is going to look like with our cats and everything. So this is Hearts of Wulin. You're playing martial heroes that you might have seen in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or Hero at a kind of baseline. We're playing sort of the more elevated fantastical series, the Shan Sha, which means that we have ghosts, we have spirits, we have cultivator magical sects up on mountains, we have dragons, we have people turning into dragons and not turning into dragons. We have all of the whatever you want in terms of what I've heard people call high fantasy bullshit, but I love that stuff. And it is my favorite kind of thing. So we're much more in the universe of stories like the Untamed, like Heavenly Officials, Blessing, the with Grandmaster Demonic Cultivation, all of those kinds of things. If you don't know it, just think we're doing some cool fantasy stuff with some of these elements. This is a fantastical, fantasized version of a classical China. Our characters exist in groups or sects or orders. There is the world of the spirits and the cultivators. There is the world of the wuxia, of those people who practice martial arts and have spiritual practices, but perhaps are not fully magical themselves. But we have these different orders that exist. Your characters are immensely potent, athletic, and have great fighting skills. But you are still undercut by your own heart. That is, you may be able to lift boulders, but it's that held breath when you see the person that you love and they turn away from you, not happy with you, that will destroy you. So that's part of what we're aiming for here. We're going to begin obviously with character creation today. You're going to choose your playbook. Each of those playbooks has a set of roles. You'll pick a role within that playbook. Two people can play the same playbook, but generally it's better if they don't. If you do decide, then you'll kind of talk about what moves you want to take. You'll make some choices about your stats, which are called elements in this case, and you'll decide about your character's fighting style and all of those things. And then after you've got that set, we're going to do introductions. And then after introductions, we're going to do entanglements. Everybody's going to have a romantic entanglement, and they're going to have a general entanglement. Entanglements are a triangle, your relationship with one person that is complicated by another person. And when we say romantic entanglements can be feelings of agape love, feelings of crushes. They don't necessarily have to be sexual or romantic. It's up to you how you want to approach that. If you want a character to be more ace, you're more than welcome to do that. But all of those possibilities are out there. Once we do those entanglements, that'll establish a web of characters and we'll get NPCs on the table. We have an NPC tab. I put some pictures in the NPC tab, and you are welcome to steal those to use to apply names to those characters. There is a tab with entanglements and names that has a sample name lists, martial names, generally male names, generally female names, and then has all of the various entanglements. In a lot of games, plot is important. Here, it's more about incident and playing off our characters. There are things that are going to happen that are incite things, and we'll see where it goes. Once we get to play, we're going to bounce off the characters that you create and the situations that occur. Our tone is melodramatic. This is a melodrama in these stories. Emotions, reactions, and passions are heightened. Misunderstandings are heightened. People talk at cross purposes. Our characters have to maintain their facade in the face of these trials. That should be played fairly straight, serious, but grim. But again, that in one scene you can be laughing and there can be some comedy, but in the next scene you may be cradling your dead lover in your arms. This is also a world where our characters, as they are kind of tied up with their hearts, they speak obliquely about matters of those hearts. They have a hard time addressing those things directly. They talk around those things. They are driven by duties, and those often get in the way of them being able to express how they feel. And maybe even when they say something that they feel is the most, strong romantic gesture, it may be just a touch. So there are all of these kinds of conflicts that come in with this. And the subject matter of this is the story of conflict, magic, questions of family, of loyalty, of betrayal, of heartbreak. These are all those kinds of classic melodrama tropes and stories that we're doing, along with fighting. When you fight, when you battle, you get to tell us how awesome you are. That is the most important thing about any fight sequence, is you describing how amazing you are. That's the primary rule of this. I do want to say that Hearts of Olympus plays out in a mythical China. It is the China of various Chinese dramas. The original sources of this are the novels of Jin Yong and Gu Long, great long novels that were turned into dramas, and then the evolution of those over time to more recent Chinese web novels. And serial novels and so on that have become these kind of high-end, big-budget productions, like we just started watching Till the End of the Moon, and it's got some amazing stuff in it, but it's based on a more recent web novel. These are from Chinese sources. I am super white. You've noticed that. The cultural material in Hearts of Wulin in the book is written by Joyce Chang. We had it reviewed by Yilin Wang, both Joyce's work and my work there. We're trying to be as respectful as we can of the source material. That's just something we always want to keep in mind when we're playing through this. I always say this, it's never been a problem, but I should always remind people, we do voices, but we don't do accents. We're careful about that as we go through. We might reference the techniques and elements of the cinema that these come through, but we don't make fun of it. We take it s seriously. I think that's all really important. That's the basics of the Cats. Now, to supplement that, as I know all of you have played with me before, we are using a layered set of safety tools. At the most bottom line is the Cats is this talk that I just went through. I say talk, but it's me talking at you, describing that. The next is our lines, veils, and ask firsts. I see that some people have marked those out. Again, lines being a hard line on things we don't want to see in play. Veils being anything that if it were to come up, we would fade to black, and ask firsts being things that we want to check in. Throughout the character creation process, feel free to add things. That maybe are on there that we haven't got that occur to you. This is a living document that will evolve over time. We may come back and may add things as we spot them in play. It's a good starting point. It's a good baseline. Now, on top of that is kind of a reactive element. We have the X card. The card is in play. I've never seen anybody do this gesture, but I always do this at the start. Most people will say X card. X card, when you have hit something that you find problematic, that you find objectionable, that you find wildly off tone, X card is a good thing to do if we maybe are starting to lean towards something that we've got marked as a line or a veil and we need to recalibrate for that. The X card can be a hard stop, but it may be a thing where you want to X card so we talk about and recalibrate on that. But often, if it's something that you just X card, I don't want this. This is not something I want to see in play. X card, the only question we'll necessarily ask is like, how far back do we need to cut to get it to where you want? You are welcome to explain your decision to X card something, but you are never required to. That's really important. You have the option to, but you should never feel forced to explain, to defend those choices of safety in any form in here. The sort of side to that X card, kind of between that and the last one I'm going to talk about, is we do have a romance matrix. This is a game that's built around romance and melodrama. We do have a matrix for people's interest in having storylines, relationships, romances with NPCs, with PCs, and ask firsts on that. So you can check that. And lastly, the open door policy. Open door means that if you have to step away, if you have to leave for whatever reason, you should feel that you can do that. It'd be great if you could tell us you're going to be back, but you're not obligated to. Things happen. Deliveries arrive. The stomach flu hits. You're just not feeling it. These are all legitimate reasons. You don't have to explain those choices. And so you should take advantage of that. You should never stay in a game if you're not feeling up to it. It also means that if between sessions your schedule changes or you're not feeling like this is a game you actually want to be playing at this time, you're also welcome to just write and say, hey, I'm not getting back. You don't have to defend that decision. Just give us a heads up on that. You should never stay in a game that you're not digging. And I think you heard me talk about, we are, by the way, coming into this game after we cut short a previous campaign. I'm not going to name that game. But there was a decision the group were very generous in us going, okay, let's do something different. And I think that's great. So with that in mind, I want to talk with folks about what they would like to do, what they have thought about. Sherry, you're definitely going to go with the Celestial playbook.
If that's okay, I would like
That
to, yes.
I appreciate you playtesting this for me because it may go
Yes.
terribly wrong.
If it will, it'll be me doing
Oh,
it. So there
okay.
you go. It's okay. We can have a big talk about it.
And you're doing the Merciful?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because I like the idea of running through a scene invisible,
Okay.
and yeah, so.
All right. And Jose, what have you chosen for your playbook and role?
I am would like to choose the Outsider
Okay.
and the Cursed playbook within the Outsider.
Okay. Excellent. That is a good one. And then Kevin, you are returning back to your character from the previous Hearts of Wulin campaign. And you're doing the unorthodox inhuman guys.
Yeah, I'd like to bring Chalu back.
Okay. Excellent. And Elliot, with those choices having been made, have you thought about what you would like to do?
Yeah, I think I'm going to play the Aware playbook and the traveling teacher role
Oh,
with
excellent.
that.
Excellent. This all sounds great. These are good choices. I am going to set you to sort of the tasks of character creation. There's a tab that goes through those, which means look, naming your style, choosing what weapon and element is associated with it, assigning your elements, your stats, and picking those playbook moves. You'll get your roll move and you'll have two playbook moves. If you don't want to pick both of your playbook moves, you can hold off on one until later and decide. And as I do when we're playing any of these kind of PBTA games where there's a lot of upfront character creation, we'll check in after a session or two. And if the moves that you've chosen are not necessarily the ones you wanted, if they don't do exactly what you wanted to do, we'll be allowed to switch those around. But I'm going to let everybody work on that. And then we'll talk about entanglements after we do introductions at that point. So I'm going to pause the recording so people don't have to see me sit here awkwardly. So we're building very loosely on the setting of Chao Lu and the events that occurred in that. We are down a ways in this. So this is very much this sort of historical background because Kevin's character is effectively immortal. But we're taking up some decades since there was a battle amongst the sort of conventional Wulin martial sects and sects like the Ox Pilgrim Escort Bureau and the Many Venom sect, and these got into a conflict that ended up destroying a number of these groups. And fingers were pointed about whether this was the fault of Angel Sin or Peerless Lan or Wu Yan Wang. There's a lot of names and things, but this is sort of in the past. What happened afterwards is that there are cultivation sects. These are great learned sects of spiritual energy. These are martial groups that are more connected to the spirit plane that have different mountains that they occupy. And three of these mountain sects got together and brought a halt to the fighting that was going on and got kind of involved in the way they hadn't before. And so we are some time since they did that, and they still have more interaction with the mundane world than they might have otherwise. And that has caused some conflicts. And people who otherwise might have been spiritually isolated and so on have had to mix and maybe learn something of the real world there, and they've been changed by those interactions. So one of the things we're going to have is we're going to have these three mountains that are going to be in play, these three mountain sects that will essentially White Mountain, Panther Mountain, and Stillness Mountain, and we'll figure out what the names of those sects are. So just keep that in mind as kind of a thing that's in the background for the story here. So, Sherry, let me get my note book ready. Introduce yourself, your character, pronouns, and tell us about them.
Okay, so I'm Sherry, she, her pronouns. I am thinking that I'm going to be playing a character named Heartless Dundun. She is a scribe of the deep green heaven of the celestial bureaucracy. So that is the part of the heavens that represents the unfathomable depths of the heavens. They are so deep and so difficult to penetrate. Her role is merciful, which mostly means that she, when she helps out, she tries to do it by, sort of being invisible and making little small moves. She still has this sense, I think, because her background, she was actually an ink fairy. So she has this sense of being not a part of human things from way back when. She has no sense of that anymore, of how things are. She's not been here for a long time. So she has a very, say, it's all new to her, and she did not expect that. She always thinks of herself as knowing everything. She is here because she's in search of a set of missing, I think the word is bezoar, stones, essentially these sort of rocks or stones that are cannot be digested, and these are from dragons. So the things that can't be digested are usually horrible or powerful things like devils and or other celestials or things like that. So it's important to recover those, because if they fall into the wrong hands, they can be used to bring back one of those things in an inappropriate way. But she's also racing a rival scribe to get most of these stones, mostly to demonstrate the superiority of her methods and because she would like to win back her apprentice. So that's what I'm thinking. Something in that tune. Anything else comes up as I see the other stories, I'll sew that in or change things around. But that's my first push.
Tell us about your fighting style.
Ah, so my style name is called Truthful Ink. The element is most close to water because, of course, ink is soot in water, but sometimes graphite in water, but usually soot if you want the ink stones to use those, and they are very, very, very nice. It's a pleasant ritual. So it's a weapon style that's around brushes. It looks mostly defensive and the like, but of course, in the hands of a celestial, it can be plenty offensive. So.
And the sense I had is that you've been, the world is new. You haven't been here for a while, and so perhaps you've only been down operating in the world for maybe less than a year.
Oh, yes, very
Okay,
much so.
yeah. Have a chance to meet the other PCs to get to know them, but you haven't been everywhere
Correct,
in that
correct.
time.
I figure that I've latched on to Sun Xian because he's cursed and he has a very high chance of being able to find these stones because that's what it takes, is the bad luck.
Okay.
So
I love it.
okay.
Tell us about the moves that you chose.
Okay, so the move for the merciful is called merciful, and when you become invisible in order to help out during everyday life, whatever that is, you go ahead and roll. On a hit, you can move through the scene without being spotted. On a 7 to 9, choose one. You have to move quickly. Say why. You hear something which triggers inner conflict. So
We already found a
lots of
typo, thank
heresy.
God.
Yeah, so
We're
there
probably
was,
testing
yes,
this.
lots of them. So I'm gonna have to fix that. You leave behind some telltale sign of my presence. So those are the three things. On a miss, on a true miss, my intrusion into the scene makes things worse. So, but that sounded too fun to say no to. And then I took back from the brink. So this is when this is kind of a weird one, but I had the idea that her real power is in her ink, but actually her riddles. And so she can seal anything in paper, write a riddle on it, and no one else can get into it, and it can't get out. It is completely sealed in. So the move itself that goes, when you go to contain a substance, mundane or magical, within a container, roll. On a hit, you succeed. It becomes a perfect, airtight, leak-proof container. You have control over the natural processes of the substance, heating, cooling, perfect preservation, controlled fermentation, distillation, or desiccation. On a 7 to 9, the substance changes in a minor but unwanted way. This technique may be used to contain defeated supernatural spirits and creatures. So that's what I took it was. It was a good way to, I should say, take prisoners. So, and then the last one is till the end of the moon. And this is, I may join the fate of a mortal to my own. With this connection, you can always coincidentally bump into them, know their current status, and always take a +1 forward when interacting with them. You can spend any bond to have them appear on the scene, regardless of logic or plausibility, though they may have gone through trials to get here. You begin with one mortal from your entanglements, so connected to you. You may have up to three total. When you wish to disentangle their fate from your own role, on a hit, you do so successfully. On a 7 to 9, there are costs and repercussions. So I wanted this to be very much an inadvertent thing that she does because she hasn't been here for so long. And she may be a little bit more differently powered than she understands.
Excellent. And I see you've got a picture there.
I do.
The brush and the pictures there down at the bottom. All right. Excellent. I think that gives a good sense of who you are. Feel free to take a look at the entanglements as we get introductions of
It
everyone
is
else,
the
okay?
hard part. It is the
Yes.
hard part.
That brings us to Jose.
Hey, everybody. My name's Jose, and I use he and him pronouns. And I am playing Song Tian, who also uses he and him pronouns. Where did I put that? There we go. Song Tian was discovered to have unusual musical talent at a very young age. And he was recruited by the Silent Harmony, which is like a secretive college of bards with a great reputation. The adepts are trained in cultivation, diplomacy, and some say spycraft. I don't know if Song Tian got involved in any of that, but he prospered under their tutelage musically. But when he began performing out in the world, unfortunate supernatural occurrences were plaguing his assignments, and the rumor spread that he was cursed. And his mentor, Chuan Xinya, was very vexed by the inconvenience of this curse, and has sent him wandering on a quest to discover the source of it and hopefully a remedy for it. Let's see. And so I put a picture of her in the NPC tab. He is cursed, as I've already mentioned, which is also the name of the playbook, or the subtype of the Outsider playbook that he's embodies. And part of the cursed playbook is that you are bound by the forces of fate and destiny. This may have a concrete form, such as a mystical person who has control of you. In this case, Songtian has like a spirit companion, let's call him, call them. He calls them Gesheng Feng, which means Windsong. Windsong appears to him in the rustling of leaves and whistling down alleyways or rattling windows, moving chimes, things like that. It tends to inspire and fortify Songtian. But although he doesn't have any suspicion of this, we may wonder as audience members whether there is a cost to the good fortune that or the help that Gesheng Feng supplies to Songtian. The way that expresses itself mechanically is that I'll be able to add to this 4-segment clock plus ones to my rolls when Gesheng Feng is helping me. But if I fill up that little clock, something terrible will happen to an NPC and there will be repercussions. So hopefully I'll be able to fill that clock up real fast. My other moves are I've been hurt by otherworldly forces in the past, and that leaves me marked. So when I enter a place that's clearly tainted by supernatural presence now or in the recent past, I have an advantage to studying it. And there's also another move that I took called Heroes Shed No Tears. Basically, when Songtian has inner conflict, he can choose up to 2 witnesses that are present for that inner conflict, and he either gains an advantage of them or gives them some sort of disadvantage or manages to change their mood or create a bond or spend a bond with them to have them visit him privately. So something happens when other people see him in conflict, and I'll be interested to play to find out what that looks like. I've put a picture of him down below.
That's a great picture.
Yeah, Midjourney is really being my friend lately. I'm getting the hang of it. And as you see in the picture, he's playing as a zither, a guqin, to be specific. And that's part of his fighting style. That's what it's called, right? Mm-hmm. Which is called the Path of the Dancing Leaves. Defensively, it looks he moves in these very random, unpredictable ways that make it hard for him to be struck. At a distance, he plays his zither. He plays chords that disrupt an opponent's chi from a distance. But in close quarter, his attacks are this series of subtle pricks to sensitive points along an opponent's meridians, and he delivers them using plectra, the little picks that are on his fingers for playing the zither. So he's basically playing his opponent like a musical instrument, and their chi is inexorably drained down into the earth if he's doing it right. His look is, as you see from the picture, is kind of unkempt, which gets on his mentor's nerves all the time. Worn robes, he doesn't really care a lot for his appearance. And he has somewhat haunted eyes from all he's seen in terms of the effects of the curse, particularly to the people around him. And he has a gentle smile. So that's my introduction to Songtian.
You chose wood as your primary element and your style element.
Yes.
What does wood say about your character? Is your character more patient? Are they more curious? Like, what is the driver connection for you?
I think both of those. I see him as a very circumspect character, but he's also got this curiosity, which has led him to create this connection with this wind spirit, which he doesn't really tell anybody about. So it's kind of his little secret. We can find out whether he's actually revealed it to other players and other NPCs later on. So he is a bit circumspect, and he moves kind of slowly. He speaks kind of slowly. So the way, wood grows, slow and non-showy.
I will mention with Eerie Moon and Evil Star, that's one of those moves GM I often forget. So feel
I'll
free to
try to
go, hey, is
remember.
this one of those locations that I
How
can use
supernatural
this
is
in?
this place?
Yeah. Awesome. All right. I think that gives us a good idea. We'll come back to you to talk about entanglements. Next, Kevin, tell us about your character.
Hi, I'm Kevin. I also go by Macu or Mac, pronouns he, him. And I'm bringing back Chaolu. Chaolu is a Huijing, which is a fox spirit or a fox demon, depending on, I guess, who you ask and how heavenly they are. Since we last saw him, I don't remember if when I last played him he had two tails, but if he didn't then, he certainly does now. He's leveled up, as it were, and he enters the world and goes into the world disguised as a handsome martial hero. He's lived a full century as a fox, then had to do a little bit of time, I think another 50 years in the body of a woman. Then now he's living as basically whatever he wants to be or however he wants to present himself. So pronouns might change with his or her appearance. And to that regard, there is the inhuman guise role move, which basically states, I'm secretly a monster, drawn to the human world through desire and love. I do hide my true face from others, including fellow PCs. I do have a few tells. The big one, the easy one, is that dogs will always know me for what I am. There's an ancient enmity between dogs and foxes that goes back to before when they were even man's best friend. So regardless of whatever disguise I'm in, they'll always be able to sniff me out, or and just they know, which is always fun. And then another one, monster hunters probably are aware of this, but when you throw horse urine on Huijing, it will force them out of any sort of disguise they might have and force them either into like a sort of monstrous combat form, or just force them to show sort of their true selves. I don't know why exactly that is, but that is a weakness I'm aware of. There might be other weaknesses that we discover in play, but those are the two that I am aware of. My other moves are painted skin. So I can just change my physical appearance whenever I want to, so long as I am out of sight, and all I need is just a moment to do that. And then Pursuit of Vengeance, very foxy move, very fun, which simply states when you try to evade pursuit, roll, and some fun things happen based on what the dice turn up. So Chaolu comes from a place called Mount Guni, where there is an enclave of foxes. Every now and then, one of us lives long enough to attain enlightenment, and or enough enlightenment, I guess, to start assuming a human form. And some of us even live long enough to get a couple tails attached to us. But my mother had one of her tails stolen by a villain long time ago, and I thought I was about to get it back, and I didn't. I was unable to. So my mother's tail is still missing. And that gives somebody a great deal of power over things like illusion, and it gives her a lot of my mother's old abilities. Now she has other tails, but losing one is still very, very, very important. It's a big deal. And so I'll do about anything to get it back. Since we last saw Chaolu, and since he got his second tail, I think he's been getting visited by a nine-tailed fox. Who's been coming to him in his dreams that she was imprisoned probably by the celestial courts, because that's what you do to really powerful demons. You don't kill them, you just throw them under a mountain for a while and hope they go away. But maybe with the recent resurgence of some of these cultivation sects, she's managed to find some cracks in her in the prison, and she's been visiting Chao Lu in his dreams and teaching him a martial arts style called Dreaming Water Candle Style. And water candles, or dreaming water candles, are floaty blue flames that you sometimes see when you enter forests or haunted spaces. Some people claim to see them, but if you were to try touching one, they're exceedingly cold. They are frigidly cold to the touch. They're sometimes also called foxfire. And so she has taught him, or begun teaching him, this martial art style often associated with these, with this process, and this sort of magic ability. It is a water style, because again, they are frigid cold to the touch. And he's been practicing with daggers and razor fans, though usually I think the style is more commonly practiced with things like ribbons and long sleeves. I do have a picture down there if you'd like to see what I currently think Chao Lu looks like. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I need to go over. His look is, the look that I'm going to describe is, let's call it his default look. This is the look that he probably presents to, if the other PCs are familiar with him, this is how he tends to go about. And if he's not in disguise, even though this would also kind of technically count as a disguise, this is what he is currently presenting to the world. And that is a handsome martial hero with wavy platinum hair, usually half up or with one short braid over the ear, and it's bound with red twine. He's a cheerful gaze, he's quick with a laugh, and he has that red eye rouge that you see some martial heroes have, and just absolutely flawless skin, regardless of how he or she presents themselves.
Is it difficult, do you think, for you to learn a water style given how much fire dominates your elements?
I think there are some challenges, and I think we have to go back to it's a very yin style, it's a very feminine style, and since we did spend, you know, a good half century as a woman, I think we have to pull on our experiences from there. But fighting is not something that Chao Lu likes to do. It's not something they're particularly good at. And so, yeah, I think there have been some hang-ups and some hold-ups there.
What do you think this nine-tailed fox wants? Is it as simple as you believe, that she just wants you to help her get out?
I think that would be, certainly that would be an easy answer. There might be some revenge, okay, on the spirits, on the celestials that bound her as well.
So that's sort of your suspicion, is that there's that tied up in it?
I also think there's a certain level of pain that drew the two together.
Okay.
I don't know if Chao Lu's mother told him that she was in love with the woman who stole her tail. Ooh. And I think this nine-tailed fox might have also been in love with someone. And Chao Lu has been in love. It didn't particularly end well. It wasn't, you know, a full-on betrayal, somebody hanging off the side of a cliff at the end of it. But he was forced to go back to the mountains and retreat from society for a long time. And it broke his heart. And I think somewhere in there, the two might have been drawn to each other, and so there might be a joined, either a pain there, or and it might be that she just wants him to inflict suffering for all we know. Okay. And just, or that might be suffering might be what widens the gaps in her prison.
Excellent. All right, I think that gives us more than enough to play with. We'll come back with you and talk with you about entanglements. That brings us to Elliot. Elliot, tell us about your character.
My dog sensed a fox spirit in the next room and is absolutely losing it. My character is Dami. He is using the Where the traveling teacher playbook, and he is a kind of this itinerant sage and gambler who goes around to tea houses in the countryside, and people come to him hoping that he will dispense wisdom of some kind and challenging him to fights or to gambling matches. His story is that he was a member of one of these martial sects. It was kind of an up and coming hotshot student, but prematurely challenged the master of the school to a duel and lost. And ever since then has been kind of just wandering around the countryside in search of some direction for his life. His fighting style is the Shining Buffalo style. It's with a two-handed hammer, and it's a fire-based fighting style. And I think the way that this ties into his teaching is that he is, I think, less of a kind of a sage who dispenses wisdom, but someone who provokes others to discover wisdom within themselves. Kind of like it was like Socrates in the Republic, who is perhaps actually doesn't know as much as people think that he does based on his martial prowess, but is pr provokes them in by exposing weaknesses in their way of thinking or in their fighting style.
Is the hammer unusual among that divine sect? Unique? Or
Yeah, I think
were there...
it's a more a blunter weapon
Okay.
than others might have wielded, and the fact that it is a kind of a two-handed weapon is unusual as well.
Okay. Tell us about the moves.
Yeah, so I have the traveling teacher move. People constantly challenge you, seek out your advice, or beg for you to take them on as a student. Once per session, if you're in a reasonably accessible area, you may declare that someone shows up to interrupt events. You may use this before rolling inner conflict to avoid any roll. If you do, mark XP as if you'd rolled inner conflict. I took from the fantastic playbook, The God of Gamblers. When you compete in a game of chance, roll on a hit, you win. On a 10 plus, you cause financial distress or obligation to someone playing. On a 6 minus, you still win, but you're cut off, kicked out, or accused of cheating. If you roll 2 ones with this move, you lose this game and this move to complete a quest or task of the GM's discretion. And then finally, I'm less sure about this one.
Sure.
I didn't see another one that quite jumped out at me as much as the gambling one, which sounded fun. But the Legend of Awakening, while you have your style element marked, you mean use another element for combat actions.
It's a good classic one. You might look at the regular Aware playbook too and see if there's any that aren't on the Fantastic, because you're welcome to pull from those as a base one as well. How old are you picturing them?
I'm thinking kind of mid-50s.
Mid-50s. Okay.
Don't have a picture yet. I'm gonna have to play around
Sure.
with Google search, or I didn't see one that quite fit the description I had.
Yeah, I've got a lot of the pictures in my Pinterest board are young hotties. Let us just say it that way. And do you have a name for this sect?
No, I mean, I was thinking it could be one that already exists within the world,
Okay.
tie in the kind of the setting. I wasn't super familiar with what's there, but
Yeah, we'll come up with that. I haven't come up with the name for those three sects, so we'll say. So, which mountain are they on? Are they on the White Mountain? Are they on Panther Mountain, or are they on what was the third mountain I had there? It was Stillness Mountain.
I'll go with Stillness Mountain.
Okay, they're from Stillness Mountain. Okay. All right, I think that gives enough to go from to begin the sort of the entanglement process here. We're going to go around and have everybody do one of their entanglements, and then we'll go around and have you do another one. You should have a PC in one at least of those two. And you're welcome to come up with NPCs, make up names, all of that. There are names there on that entanglements tab. Before we go too much further, I wanted to review our choices that have been made so far for Lions and Veils, just so we're on that. So what we've got here as lines, we've got a hard line on dental horror. We have a hard line on sexual assault. We have a hard line on torture by PCs. And then we have veils on graphic gore, homophobia, and sexual content. That's all of our fade to black. And then for anything that would involve, say, PC betrayal or mind control, we want to check in on those stories, those tropes, before we bring those to bear. So those are our choices that we've made for that. So we swing back around to Heartless Dan Dan. Sherry, do you want to do your romantic or your general first?
I think maybe it makes sense to do a general. And I think that I really like the idea of that she kind of has hitched her cars to Song Tian because of his curse and everything, and she like has a really strong feeling that he will lead her to it. But I think one of the people that she accidentally fate bound early on is another musician and a lovely young thing that she doesn't want to have anything bad happen to. And she recognizes precisely how dangerous Song Tian is to him. And so it's a kind of thing of being like, I've got to watch out for him. I've got to make sure that things turn out okay, and that sort of like find a way to jump in the middle if things start going wrong.
So I follow Song Tian, but my fate-bound friend this worries that Song will be the death of me.
Oh no, or that I worry that Song will be the death of them.
Oh,
Does that make any sense?
okay.
Because they're
Yeah,
an
absolutely.
NPC, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So who is this NPC?
See, now you're getting hard because you're asking for names on the
I know
fly.
names and a picture.
I know I have the picture,
Okay.
so I will put it in the thing. But he plays the flute. I ran into him on a roof. I didn't expect someone sitting on a roof. That was the thing. So I don't know
Under the
what is
moonlight.
under the moonlight, of course. He didn't seem surprised when I stepped on him, even though I was invisible. So there's yeah, and I haven't thought of his name yet, so I will have to come up with
No, you're going
one.
to come up with it now before we move
Oh
on.
no, why are you so
That's so other
unfriendly?
people can reference it.
Okay,
Heartless.
I know it is heartless, yes, in my name, but I truly am not. Let's see here.
There are names on the Entanglements and Names tab.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's where I need to be then. Entanglements, give me a name. The most handsome of names. How about Gonfi? Is that used?
What name?
Gonfi?
Sure.
Okay. That's what I
So
will
go ahead and
use.
put that name and that picture in the NPC tab.
All right, will do.
He, him, she, her.
He, him.
Okay.
He, him, I think.
Can you say once more, Sherry? I know you're trying to protect him from me or from Song Tian.
Right.
And is there some connection between Song Tian and him already, or no?
No, it's that I've brought him into this situation because I need your help to
So
find these stones.
he's
It,
connected
because
to
you're
you right
gonna,
now.
She knows that you're going to stumble over him. She recognizes the kind of curse that you have, and
Okay, got it, got
you
it,
are
got
going to
it.
step on every bomb on the road. That's just essentially how it is. If there's a landmine, you will step in it. So, yes. So that is what. So she needs to find those, but she doesn't want something bad to happen to Gonfi.
All right, got it. I understand now.
All right, and I will put a beautiful picture of a lovely boy.
Okay. And we know a musician.
Yeah, and also another musician who likes to play with you.
All right, I think it gives us a good sense of that particular one. We'll come back and figure out your romantic one here in a moment. Song Tian, do you want to start with your romantic or your general?
Oh, geez, I don't know. So I could. No, but that's, I don't want to repeat because I was thinking about trying to do what you suggested, engage with the NPC that Sherry just created. But I don't want to repeat, anything that is already in her entanglement, right?
Well, what do you think your relationship is to this person that's fate bound to Heartless? Is this somebody that you have a crush on or
Yeah, would that be
something?
too repetitive? Yeah, because maybe I could do a romantic entanglement with him.
Yeah, that would work if you want.
And then,
In that case, a simple one is I pine for Ganfei, but Heartless Don Don keeps trying to
coming
keep us
between us.
apart.
Well, that's simple enough. Yeah, if that works.
Yeah, that works.
Okay. I'll write that one in.
Okay. Chao Lu. Do you want to start with your romantic or your general?
Good question. I've been looking through entanglements. And I think we'll go ahead. I'm looking more at the general, so we'll probably go ahead and start there.
Okay.
And I think I want to bring in another fox,
Okay.
to kind of illustrate this whole romantic stuff going on. I think there might be another one of the foxes from Mount Cooney. I don't know if they're a sibling yet, although it might be a little stronger of a choice if they are. But somebody who maybe just began to get their human form and is beginning to take their first steps in the human world has fallen in love with bouncing back and forth between Song Tian and Da Ming. Do either of you want to have a Huli Jing that maybe is getting a little attached? And I need to warn them off.
Sure. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay. So I will say, and let's go ahead and let's make it a sibling that pops up a lot on the general entanglements. This is somebody that's probably a little bit younger, so it's probably just before my mother's tail was stolen. It'd be my sibling, and I need a name and a NPC. Let's go. And we have pictures, but not names. Back to the names tab. Well, I guess she would be another Chow. So let's go with Chao Yue. My sister, Chao Yue. And what is that exact wording of that entanglement? My sibling. Oh, it's in it loves our clan enemy. Oh,
oh well, no, you could you just modify. So your sibling, with her name, loves my friend Da Ming,
but I think it will end disastrously.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it.
No, but it will definitely end disastrously. But we'll.
So we'll use she, her for the moment.
Yes. And okay.
I put her in that top row of the NPCs there.
Yeah.
So you're welcome to use one of the pictures down below or find one of your own.
Got it.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Excellent. All right. So we have that general relationship, that general entanglement. So, Daming, do you want to do your romantic or your general?
Looking at the entanglements, the one that I'm drawn to here is I love blank, but my senior blank and the rest of my clan believe they serve a dark force. And I'm thinking, Kevin, if you're okay with this, I think I love Chiao, but my senior, and this is the reason I was, the reason that Daming was expelled from his school was this conflict over believing that I think they think that Chiao is some sort of demon and have devoted themselves to destroying them.
Which Chiao are you referring to?
You're well, I think it'd be more chaotic if it was your character, Chiao Lu. Since that creates the kind of a triangle with your sister.
Sure, let's go for it.
And then I think the so I think here I think maybe like I'm changing like I'm not I haven't been fully expelled from the school. I think they still have a kind of a relationship with them, but I'm in kind of an exile for having challenged my senior who I'm going to name since I am Daming, which means Big Ming, he'll be Xiaoming. Little Ming, and I think we are like childhood friends who grew up in the same village, and so we have he's Little Ming and I'm Big Ming.
Excellent, and that works for you, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay,
let's go.
Then Da Ming, go ahead and put that character's name in the NPC tab and find us a picture for your sworn brother. From your village that you have crossed in the pursuit of this. That brings us back to Heartless. What do you want to do for your romantic?
Hey. I like the idea that she's trying to win back her apprentice from her rival, who is also looking for these stones. The thing that she won't admit to herself is that she's actually in love with her apprentice.
Okay, so how do you want to phrase that?
Now, see, you're going to make it hard. Like, it has to be phrased right.
So I won't admit it to myself. I pine for...
yes, exactly. Who is in the grasp of my rival.
Okay. So give us names. I know I am the worst human being.
The worst. Okay, so here we go. I'm gonna pick two names. I'm gonna pick the let's see here. I'm going to my apprentice name will be Ooh. How about green saber jacque?
Okay.
And the my rival, the other scribe, will be Moonsworn Heart. Part of the reason that we are rivals is because heart is in both of our names, and we are scribes, and that is an insult.
Okay.
I'll get those pictures.
Okay, I'll put those. So, Green Saber and then Moon Sworn Heart. Pronouns.
Green Saber Jacque is he, him, and Moonsworn Heart is, oh, I haven't found their picture yet.
They, them, she, her.
Let's say they them.
All right, well, that gives us the romantic entanglement. That brings us back to Song Tian. We have your romantic. What do you want to do for your general?
I'd like to do something with my mentor,
Okay.
since I put her on the PC tab already. So she's the one who, or NPC tab already, since she's the one who sent me on this quest to find out about my curse. But I'm wondering if she might have some connection to one of the other PCs. And maybe she's asked me to, maybe it's to Daming. I'm thinking maybe you and her had some kind of liaison years ago. And so she wants to find a way to woo you back. Would that work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, I'll work on the wording for
Yeah,
that.
no, I think that's good. It says so you're my mentor, keeps pushing me for information on Daming for a purpose I don't understand.
For a purpose I don't understand yet. Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, establishes you as a friend of Daming and establishes that you've got this weird pressure coming from your mentor. Okay.
Okay. I'll put that in.
Excellent. Chalu, what would you like for your romantic?
Check the NPCs and the existing entanglements. Last time it was really fun to have a romantic entanglement with somebody else's because it caused all kinds of fun chaos. So I wonder if Chao Lu might also be falling for Green Saber Jackie.
Oh, Jacqueline? Yeah, definitely. He's a looker. So
You put that picture in the NPC tab yet?
I swear I will. I have to, like, I'm just spelling out my other one that is going to be there in 35 seconds. Plus 2 minutes.
Yeah, so how do you want to phrase that?
Well, they are celestials, so I
That's a dangerous
definitely
game to play.
Oh man, the trick is not revealing my character's identity, but still being reminded of the entanglement I'm looking at is actually one of the loyal fantastic ones. I
Sure.
love blank, but blank continuously brings up how one of my order, or in this case my kind, caused their family sorrow and loss. And I really like that. So it'd be
Maybe it's something like, maybe not even it brings up, but I mean, do you know that Heartless also pursues Green Saber? Do you think?
Or could it be the one that he watches over that other fox? I don't know.
Maybe.
Here's an interesting one, though it doubles up on. Let me see here. Who do you want in that third position for Green Saber? Do you think you want to have the sort of the conflict over Green Saber be with Heartless, or be with Heartless's rival, who's the master of Green Saber?
I actually really like bringing in Moonsworn Heart again. It would cause a little bit of like double up maybe, but who knows? Maybe that could lead to some fun chaos.
Yeah.
So yeah, let me read
so,
that.
So basically, Moonsworn Heart is somebody who knows something about your past.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe doesn't know exactly who you are now, but you know, I mean, you kind of know who Moonsworn Heart is. You know that if this comes out, that they could easily put a kibosh, cause problems.
Yes. So I love Green Saber Jackie, but they are in love with Moonsworn Heart, who suspects my true nature.
Oh yes, because that makes it triply complicated.
Okay. I love Green Saber Chiki, but I might even steal the wording, but they are in the grasp. But they are in the grasp of Moonsworn Heart, who suspects my true nature.
Okay. And in the grasp here, do you mean you've suggested that it's not just that they're a follower of, but that in fact they secretly love Moonsworn Heart? Is that what you were saying before?
Oh no, then let's say I love Green Saber Jiki, but their teacher, their mentor,
mm-hmm.
Moonsworn Heart, who suspects my true nature. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Their mentor.
We'll make it a little less messy. Okay. I like it.
I mean, maybe there is something there, but
well, that'll be a hard move.
Both of us.
Yeah. Let's come back to Da Ming. What would you like for your general?
I think we've established that I'm friends with Song Tian, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Da Ming senses that that Heartless Don Don is bad news for Song Tian. And the wording would be something like, I sense that Song Tian is in danger from supernatural forces, but Heartless Don Don is leading him deeper down that, or further down that path.
Heartless?
I think it might be a possible misinterpretation of my intent, probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you're okay with that possible misinterpretation?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I, Sherry, am fine with it.
Okay.
Heartless Dun Dun does not like to be misunderstood, but okay. That will be.
All right. And so once Jerry drops Moonsworn Heart
Yes,
into
hold
that, they will have
on.
pictures for all the NPCs and will be set. I'm going to briefly screen share for folks at home because that will make the video HD. There you go. So you can see our character choices there, our characters. We have some pictures here. So that gives us our entanglements, that gives us our setup. We're going to take our first break here. We're going to take 10, and then we're going to come back and we're going to get some incidents happening. So we have three mountains. Stillness Mountain, which is where Da Ming comes from, White Mountain, and Panther Mountain. We'll come back to Stillness Mountain in a moment, but White Mountain, Heartless Dan Dan, is one of the cultivation sects, one of the mountains there. I have Master River there in the NPC tab below and to the left of Moonsworn Heart. We have some sense of Stillness Mountain, of wisdom, and so on. Tell me, what is a trait or a detail or a thing we know about the order that is on White Mountain?
I think that the order that is on White Mountain has, like, the further up you go the mountain, the more enlightened they are. And there are tests that you have to go through. And there is no such thing as a visitor to the top thing. If you are not a member of that sect, the leaders have to come down to you. You cannot go to them. And the only exception to that is that there is sort of on occasion a time when the celestials have a path to Earth that goes down that White Mountain, and they have a long-standing agreement on that. And does
So,
that make any
yeah,
sense?
a stronger focus on tiers and hierarchy and moving up,
Exactly.
some pride in connection to the celestial realm that this mountain is a pathway for figures from the heavens to descend through. Okay. Jose, I'm going to take me a minute to get characters right. Song Tian, Master River is our sort of figure. Representative leader for White Mountain that Sherry has described. Tell me something about her.
Let me look at her photo. I think she rarely comes down from her tier, but she has. It's rumored that she has people listening at all the tiers and of White Mountain, as if she has some agenda that there are rumors about. It has something to do with the celestials that travel through White Mountain coming down to Earth. And she keeps very close tabs on all their movements as they move down through White Mountain. And there are all sorts of wild rumors about what she might want or have plans for with regarding these celestials as they pass through her domain.
Excellent. I like that. Chaolu, the third mountain is Panther Mountain. Stillness Mountain, White Mountain, and Panther Mountain. Tell me something about Panther Mountain? What makes it different or unusual or outstanding?
You would think Panther Mountain would be named for the large cat, but it's actually named for the panther flower, which grows on this mountain and is said to have unique healing medicinal properties. Furthermore, it actually only grows in near freezing temperatures, which occur only in certain. They occur throughout, most of this vision of fantasy China around winter, but there are certain pools of Panther Mountain that stay at this temperature year round, and it's the only place long enough for the flowers to actually have a lifespan.
So is that one of the things Panther Mountain is known for, is apothecaries, herbalism, or that kind of thing?
I think it's a destination for apothecaries, but
Okay.
I think it would also be fair to say that if you have a rare product there, that yes, you would have, yeah. So it's a destination also for people who are trying to be healed of certain ailments that whether or not it's accurate, they believe the panther flower can cure them of. And there are houses in the foothills or houses of healing in the foothills of Panther Mountain that are that cater to health and healthcare.
Excellent. And Ming, what do we know about the leader of Panther Mountain, the representative that we have there, Unfettered Frost?
So Stillness Mountain is said to have well, this is about Stillness Mountain or Panther Mountain.
I was gonna if you want to talk about Stillness Mountain and give me some details on that,
Either way,
actually, that's even better.
sure. Okay,
Tell me what the deal is with Stillness Mountain. I've got Master Iron there, and you
sure.
grew up there. How are they different from the hierarchy of White Mountain and the sort of herbal rare lore of Panther Mountain?
Sure. So Stillness Mountain is said to have secret knowledge that's been passed down over the centuries, and only the highest echelons of the order are trusted to be the keepers of that knowledge. And once those sages have been entrusted to maintain that knowledge, they're not seen anymore by anyone other than the their immediate students.
Ooh, okay. They go into seclusion, hide away. And what's the deal with Master Iron? What's he like?
Master Iron is the person who trains new students. So he is he has not attained the he doesn't have the level of sagacity necessary to become one of the true sages, and instead is focused on maintaining the order's political status within the surrounding area.
Okay. Which brings us back to you, Heartless Sandan. Tell me something about Unfettered Frost.
He encourages rumors of a sort of, what do you say, supernatural bloodline. He's unclear about it and things. He has a lot of charms and things that he carries with him, so it could be easy to be confused, but He actually has no supernatural bloodline.
Okay. There have been rumors from the north of disasters striking places there, north from the valleys that sort of join these three mountains. There are a number of cities in those valleys, several standard martial orders and things like that. But news has been happening over the last weeks, months of droughts, floods, disruptions to the food supplies, but also rumors about supernatural involvement in that, that there's some source behind that that has been going on. That's happened in the past. It has been years since a clan of were-tigers ran free throughout this valley before they were finally destroyed. That has been going on. All of you would have heard this in your various places. And then all of you would have heard that there is a gathering, a meeting that is to be happening of representatives from each of the three mountains, actually meeting at the estate of the caretaker clan, the one who kind of has kept the peace for the valley over these last couple of decades. Chalu, what is the name of that clan that keeps and brokers the peace?
Oh, do I want to know? We will call them. Let's pop over to the entanglements and names. Let's actually. Yeah, let's call them the Children of Twilight.
Children's Twilight. It's an unusual name, kind of representing them not being like a classic society or a sect or like that. It is a group that arranges things and deals with issues amongst the various martial clans. Has representatives from each of the three mountains. What you would know is that there is a convocation happening at the town and estate of the Children of Twilight, and they're calling people together. There is said to be a test of candidates. There are many from the martial world who would like to go and study and learn to be cultivators on one of the mountains. And so there are candidates that are coming. But you've also heard that there is something else that is going to be happening here, that there's a reason that they've called down senior representatives from each of the clans of these sects on the mountains. So something is going on. And let me ask this, Song Tian, what is your reason for heading to this convocation? What is your purpose? Have you been ordered to it? Do you want to find a chance to play something else? What do you think that is?
I think sometimes, Gesheng Feng, the spirit, leads Song Tian to places and doesn't say why. And Song Tian just follows because of his relationship with the spirit. And so I think this is one of those moments. And he's kind of in a wandering mode anyways, because that's the quest that he's on. He doesn't know how to figure out this curse thing. I think he's just going where he's been led.
Okay.
I don't know. He doesn't know why.
And Heartless Don Don, when you follow Song Tian, do you do it very openly? Are you being quiet about it? Are you shadowing him?
I am upfront and friendly. I pay for his bill at the inns. He is my traveling companion, though I have given him no choice in the matter. I am always fair-minded. And so
would you say your primary purpose for going to this convocation is following Song, or do you have another purpose, an additional purpose, a secondary purpose?
The story of the troubles suggests that, in fact, Song is going in the right direction right now. The problem with the stones is that they kind of cause effects out for a wide area, so I need someone who's going to hone me in on them more correctly. And it's a thing of, this also gives me a chance to hear the story so I know if I'm approaching, you know, a devil or a demon or, how should we say, a unfortunate celestial ghost.
Okay.
So
I think that's fair. Daming, what is drawing you back from your sort of semi-exile?
I think that Daming has heard that Xiaoming is going to be at this convocation, and he it's been a number of years since he's seen him, and he wants to confront him again and see if he has changed his mind about their previous conflict.
And Chao Lu, how is it that you came to be traveling alongside Da Ming?
Well, my sister, Chao Yue, somehow got wind of his plans to travel, and I know she would never try and make a move because we're friends. She would never try and complicate everything. So I said I would come along as a friend, but I'm really there to make sure my sister doesn't get into any trouble with Da Ming.
So you know she is headed there, regardless of whatever she said, she will be there attending this thing. We're in spring, walking through the grass. The plants are turning green, flowers are blooming. Farmers are out doing that sort of that start of the spring planting that is so vital and important. Chao Lu, Da Ming, you are traveling a wrong road. Chao Lu, there is a whisper on the breeze that carries to you of something inhuman and unpleasant in the area. And you're just kind of traveling along, maybe going through a stand of woods. You know, there's a river crossing up ahead, a bridge there. And you've been traveling for most of the day, and that suddenly that comes to you. What do you do, Chao Lu?
Look at Da Ming and Co. Oh, my friend, we've been walking for hours. Why don't we take a little break? Just, you know, rest our weary legs for a little bit of this exciting travel.
Yes, of course. What a wonderful idea. Looks like there's a spot nearby where we can have some shade.
Excellent. You go ahead over there. I'm going to go. I'm going to take a look. I think there are I'm going to go look over in this other direction to see if maybe I know there's a river coming up around here. Maybe I can see if there is a different way to cross, or maybe if there's any trouble up ahead.
Oh, well, I'll go with you in that case.
Certainly. That seems like a wonderful idea. Why don't you just come right along? And then we'll go and take a rest.
Yes, of course. Wonderful.
And then, yeah, I think we're going to, my goal here then is to go looking and sniffing around through the woods, just the near area to see if I can get a better feel for what's going on here.
Let's have you roll study.
Fantastic. Easy thing that comes to mind is just awareness. Water. Whoa, ooh, that's my style element.
I know.
Oh no. Do we risk the style element right out the gate? It makes the most sense. Why not? Oh, I haven't set up bonds yet.
Oh yeah. Sorry, I forgot. From each of your entanglements, pick one person and assign yourself a bond with them. Usually do it with PCs if they're in there.
I'll just go ahead and have Dumming as a bond really quickly, but
sure.
Yeah, I think I gotta, it's just water just makes so much sense. So we'll risk the style element.
By all means.
This absolutely can end poorly because that's a four.
That is
right out the gate.
Four. So I think that you will wander along towards this, and I think that you are in the woods when you realize that you have walked into the middle of a trap, of a spirit trap, and you suddenly find yourself unable to move. Daming is fine, but suddenly you are rooted to the spot. I'm not going to make you mark your element. I think this is fair enough payment for you. What do you say to Daming?
Oh, well, I need a good lie. Wow, it seems that don't you just love and appreciate the natural beauty of the world? Say, I think I left my belongings back over on the road. Could you go check on them really quickly? I think I'm worried about bandits all of a sudden.
Yes, of course. Is your sister currently here?
I assume not. I assume not. Just
okay.
The two of you.
Okay. Dumming has no reason to doubt this, so he's gonna head back, check on belongings. What sort of belongings are you? I didn't see you carrying much.
Oh, just my sleeping roll and an extra set of clothes and rations, that sort of thing.
I think hearing about bandits, I think Daming will take off to make sure that we are safe.
Okay. So you'll run back through the woods, back over to where the goods are. We'll come back to you two in just one moment. Song Tian, a heartless, you are traveling along. The road is kind of clear up ahead, and then Song, there's a weird rustle as your spirit friend Yasheng, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of stops, and you definitely get the sense that he's suddenly agitated.
Yeah, and the dust on the side of the road starts billowing a little bit, as it should be coming from the I don't know, from our walking, but it seems he notices that it's Gesheng Feng, and he looks over to see if Heartless has noticed anything.
Heartless, the air here feels strange. Like you've definitely got, you've kind of seen Song kind of stop and kind of look around. He looks a little distracted, but you're also got just a bad sense of things.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is I kind of, I'm like, I'm by Song and I kind of slap him on the shoulder and I go, "You feel that too, don't you? Something up around here." She looks around. I don't know. I'll take a look. Can I see anything? Get a look.
Song, you were going to say something before I
Oh,
have her
sorry.
roll?
No.
Good.
Heartless can go. Yeah.
Heartless, would you like to
Great.
make a study roll for me?
Okay. I have not opened up the thing yet, so this is always roller check. And
What do you want to roll it with?
good question. It's about being aware, right? So what have we got? Probably, oh jeez. Okay, so water is awareness. Whoops. I just keep on doing this.
And Chow Lu has certainly set the bar for
Oh
you.
yes. I know how this goes. Okay.
Couldn't possibly have two bad rolls in a row, could we?
Well, fortunately not. So I rolled a 9, adding 2 to that gives me an 11.
Yeah.
Not a bad roll.
So you have two hold for study.
Sort of turn around, and well, my question is, what's this smell like?
It smells like cultivation often has a kind of a pure smell to it when it is done with the feeling of selflessness of that. But when cultivators have more base desires or ambitions or goals, that often has a sour smell to it for you, and that's what you're smelling. There are cultivators with less than beneficent intent nearby.
All right. I go, there's some shady characters up ahead.
And I think as you say that, and you still got one hold, you will see a figure come out of the woods, and stop and is looking for, clearly looking around. Chalu, I do have a question for you. Did you leave your goods back by the road? Is
Yeah,
okay.
I think that would have been necessary to formulate the lie.
Right. You will see Da Ming pop out of the wood line, go over to where there's a traveler's sack by the side of the road.
Do I know Da Ming yet?
That's you would know Da Ming,
I would know
definitely.
Da
Everybody
Ming.
knows each other.
All right. And I'm like, Da Ming.
Oh. Hello, you're not a you haven't turned to banditry, have you?
I have not yet. And you, sir?
No,
All
my
right. Well then, well met.
song.
Song still looks distracted. He's still looking at the movement in the earth, or the movement of the dust, and then he slowly raises his head and sees Da Ming. He says, and he raises his hand slowly. Da Ming, is everything here all right?
Yes, my friend said that there were bandits about, but it looks like it's just you two. Are you what's your reason for traveling through here?
We're going to the gathering, for the children of the twilight. I've never met them before. There is a funny smell, though, so I could see why your friend may have said bandits. We should probably take a closer look.
Yeah, well, let's
She'll pull the brushes out of her top.
well, let me I've let's return let's return Xiao's goods to him, and we can set off together to the gathering.
And Song Tian, when he hears, he says, "Ah, Chao Lu is here." And Song Tian's eyes narrow just a little bit. Is this like one of the situations where there's a supernatural something about triggering my move? Just a question. I don't know that it
Actually,
is.
yeah. Why don't you roll?
Okay, great. I just lost. Oh yeah. So otherworldly forces, that's what it is. He has a bad feeling in the pit of his stomach, and he's stopped. His voice has drawn off, and he's crouched down onto the ground and is moving his hand through the dust of the road. And I will say, I guess, what are we doing?
What element do you want to roll this with?
I'll go ahead and do water for awareness.
Okay.
That makes sense since that's what most people are doing. And then
Whenever I see you making any effort, I sort of back up towards John.
I back up
This
slowly.
is where it all goes wrong.
So that I'm between.
And as he does this, you see kind of these weird little eddies of wind around him. So this is a plus one, two dice. Let's see what happens. Oh, that's bad. That's a three.
That is a three. So let me go ahead and have you mark water, which is what you rolled with.
Okay.
And I think you will kind of be overwhelmed. Like there's some unpleasant, potent stuff in the area to the point where you kind of actually have to stop yourself from like becoming ill here. Do you like you were hurt by otherworldly forces before? Is it Do you have a wound from that, or is it just a general vibe? What are you imagining that?
I think the hurt that I've received from otherworldly forces in the past has been related to the curse. So horrible things happening to people all around me.
Yeah, I think you get a premonition of something bad about to happen.
About to
Yeah,
happen.
does that
Okay.
seem fair?
Sure. Yeah.
Let me come
Great. And I
back.
have one hold
You still have one
now,
hold.
right?
Yes.
And
Yes.
I see him start to react, so I know that something's up. If I can pick a direction or anything, I actually am going to, let's see here, have a great knowledge move, but
Do you want to just spend your other hold to ask a question?
yeah. And I'm like, okay, now that I see the thing, I can get the smell of it and everything. What is it most likely, and what do we, essentially, what is it?
There are spirit hunters. There's a group of them, and they're actually back the direction that Dong Ming was coming from. I cut to Xiao Lu. Da Ming has headed out, has run off, and as you're kind of trying to get a sense of the shape of this spirit trap, you'll hear some sets of feet walking, and coming through the brush of the woods, and you will see these four hooded figures emerging out of the forest. And one of them says, "Sisters, what is this that we have found? It's not what I thought. This is no ghost. This is no little thing. This is something old."
Oh, hello, friends. It seems I might have accidentally stumbled into your trap. If you would be so kind, This all just seems to be a big misunderstanding.
Is it now? And you see the figures, they kind of move. They clearly can see, as you can, the outlines of the spirit trap. And one of them stops, and the other three begin to move in that way that says that they're moving to sort of the four cardinal points around the outside of the trap. And first one says, "What are you? Your form is perfect."
Well, thank you. You flatter me. I can tell you more about what I am if I was not in this compromised position. I'll tell you everything you want to know if you just go ahead and release me. That's how these spirit contracts work. Now I've said it, I have to hold myself to it.
That is true. And another one will say, but it will be also be easy enough to have our questions answered if we simply skin you.
Oh no.
What do you want to do? It seems like you know that there are bad cultivators who have a very utilitarian view of the spirits that hunt them and harvest them and are really awful, and you're pretty certain that's what these four are.
Well, I really don't have any moves here, and so I'm pinned and restricted. I feel like I just have to call for help. Just Daming, I bandits. The bandits are here.
Okay. So I think that's fair. I think they will probably be shocked as you shout out Daming. You're having this conversation. You see Song kind of bend down and is examining the ground. Heartless is looking around excitedly.
Yes.
And then you hear the shout of Chao Lu shouting out. Surprisingly, Chao Lu is fairly competent, but he must be in dire need if he's calling out like this. What do you do, Daming?
I think Daming will immediately, I think he'll leave behind the stuff and immediately run to where he left Chao Lu to assist.
You will go rushing back. Song, Heartless?
I follow. And I sort of turn around and go, "This may not be so good for you, Song." And then
"No, wait for me." Song kind of stumbles behind, but is still a little dazed by what happened a moment ago. And so he probably stumbles behind, lingers behind a bit. He can't quite keep up with the two of them.
You're all three running through the woods. Daming, you will come out from the wood line, and you will see there are these four hooded bandits who have Chao Lu hasn't moved from the spot that you left him in. And there are these four bandits that have surrounded him at each side. And they look startled as you come branching out of the wood line. What do you do, Daming?
I think Daming will immediately attack.
Okay. So you will rush for the closest one. Heartless.
Yes. I sort of, I also jump between like two of them, and I kind of go, "The cultivation has a very bad smell. You should reconsider." And then I'll leap at one of them.
Okay. And Song?
Song's been trailing a little bit, but when he sees the other two leap into action, he pulls the zither from his back and kneels on the ground to play.
Okay. And as Daming engages one, Heartless, you jump close. Song, the closest one to you, you pull the zither out, and I think the fourth one will kind of leap into the trap towards you, Xiaolu, clearly hoping to maybe catch you before your allies can get you free. And essentially, you see this steel whip come out of her hands. So Chow, we'll start with you. Do you want to duel this person as they kind of crack the trap and come at you, or what?
Yeah, I can't really evade pursuit because I'm trapped here. So I guess I have to
She
stand my
has she
ground.
the formation of this has been broken by her leaping in to come at you.
Ooh. Do I switch into pursuit of vengeance? Yeah, that feels like the much more foxy thing to do is
Absolutely.
I want to take her on a run through the woods.
Okay. Then let's have you roll. What do you want to roll that with?
Oh, fire. It's pure. I am speed.
Okay. Let's go ahead and have you make that roll then.
That is a 10.
Oh, yeah. So choose two, and then we'll kind of narrate what this looks like.
Well, I don't want to deny my friends their glory, and it seems each one of them is pairing off. So bringing others along doesn't and they all follow you doesn't seem like they all apply.
Right.
Let's humiliate them
Okay.
and trap them for a
Okay.
time, I think.
So, you will leap out. She'll kind of land at the spot where you were, spin around, and essentially lightness behind you as you fly off into the woods. How do you humiliate her as she is, chasing behind you with this crack of the whip, knocking down branches as she flies behind you in pursuit?
Gosh, I think she just like gets snared in something far more mundane. I lead her through a tangle of branches, and I can change my form. So I cut out of her vision for just a blink of a second, and a white fox comes out the other end, and she goes and dives into them and just like gets totally wrapped up and tangled in these
Oh
brambles.
yeah, she's trapped. Her sleeves are caught in the thorns of this thing. She's trying to get to pull to get the whip in a position, but she can't. She doesn't have an edged weapon on her, so she's having to pull through here, and she's hurt, and she is trapped by you at this moment. We're gonna come back to you questioning her in just a second, Da Ming. As you leap and attack this bandit, their scale is yours. So go ahead and roll with your style element.
That is a total of 10.
10. So tell me what this looks like. What is the first time we see you with this two-handed hammer on screen when you attack this bandit? They draw their wide sword saber out. What do we see?
I think with just a single mighty blow, he just smashes into this hammer and breaks it off at the hilt. And then with his opponent disarmed, he says, it's like shoddy craftsmanship.
Absolutely. That swings up there. Blades shatter there. Do you want to let them escape? You'll get to mark XP.
I think yeah, his goal here is just to drive them off here.
I think you catch them. Like the blow not only shattered their weapon, it lifted them up and probably threw them across the clearing. Their role, and they look at you, and there is a moment where they consider, and discretion is the better part of this, and they certainly look terrified, and we'll head off. Heartless.
Yes.
Well,
So
as Daming is knocking this person back, what do we see of your fighting here?
I think you see her fighting, which is pretty much just her hopping around and laughing. And then she takes her brush and she sort of swings it to, and you see that she actually, like, when she attacks, she's actually putting a character on whatever it is that she's hitting, if that makes any sense. And it's that effect that she has. So I guess I can roll. So it's with her weapon style now. Oh, terrible roll. But still a seven.
Still a seven. So, do you want to win at a cost, narrate your loss, or deadlock?
Oh, I like deadlock. I like deadlock. That what she's done is her the character that she's put on this person's blade is stop. And that the two of them are just, and she's standing there with her brush doing this, like, no, is very much what's going on.
You can reveal a detail or ask a question.
She goes, who are you hunting for? Who's paying you?
And I think they'll say there are many who pay a bounty for any spirits caught. There are some who know how to make them into new things.
Yes, that's a dangerous group of people to be doing business with.
I'm going to cut away from you, Song Tian. You've kind of come, pulled out your zither, sat down. You'll see this third figure kind of turn, look like they're going to. Are you trying to draw their attention, or are you trying to stop them before they can attack someone else? What do we see here?
Yeah, I think we see when he pulls out the zither, he kneels briefly and then he lifts, like levitates just a little bit into the air and the zither with him. He looks, eyeballs, that's the word I'm looking for, the opponent and smiles faintly, and then he just runs his hand across the zither, and we see, like, an emanation coming from the instrument that looks like a wave, and it's a jarring sound. He's just sending the most disruptive jarring sound towards them to try to disrupt anything that they might be doing.
Perfect. Roll with your style element.
Okay, let's see if this goes better than the last one. That's an eight.
That is an eight. So you will send that off. So you can win at a cost, narrate your loss, or deadlock. Probably the two costs would be on the table would be either marking an element or letting them escape.
I'll win at a cost, yeah, since
Okay.
we already have a deadlock on the table.
Okay. Which cost do you want? Do you want to have to mark an element, or do you want to let them follow after their friend who had their weapons broken?
I can let them escape. Maybe that's what happens.
What does it look like when that sound wave hits them? What do we see?
I think we see that they somehow leap aside or backwards. They leap backwards, and the brunt of the wave hits the ground in front of them, and the leaves in front of them spray out on top of them. So they don't fully take the brunt of it, and then they decide that discretion is the better part of valor and turn and hightail it.
Yeah, I think we see them cuts. I mean, the leaves flew at them hard. You probably see tiny cuts on them from the edges of those, and they will leap back to follow their friend. It just means that you and Da Ming and Heartless are there with Heartless locked up. Chao Lu, you've got this one trapped.
Yeah, I think I'll come back to her and and say, "No, I am no ghost, my friend. This is much bigger game. But what is it you were looking for? Do you tell? Is this are these woods full of hostile spirits that you must have seen some kind of profit to be had here?"
Spirits of all kinds for the last few weeks have been drawn here, coming from far and wide. We'd heard tell of that, so we have been stalking these woods. There is something coming.
Well, point of advice, I'm just a young little spirit here in these woods, and if certainly you had the ability to trap me, which commendable, by the way, spells quite potent. Your master clearly knew their craft, but never count on us to come alone, because you never know. Sometimes we have friends. I know that's crazy, but
She does open her mouth like she's about to say something smart, and then she closes it.
Once every few thousand years, maybe we find a friend. It's possible, but for now, I think if you agree that you don't mention my existence ever to anyone, I won't haunt you and your family to the seventh generation. How does that sound?
That sounds fair. I agree.
Good. By the way, none of these are actually binding, but I just wanted to let you sweat for a little bit. And we'll go ahead and release her. And go run along with your friends.
And she will drop down, embarrassed, her clothing torn in every which way, and she will go running off in the woods away from you. Heartless.
I'd give her a lecture.
Are you trying, like, what is your, are you just trying to annoy her? Are you trying to hearts and minds? Are you trying to something else?
I am kind of hearts and minding. I'm like, going, these are dangerous times. And you know, she goes in. If,
or are you trying to impress?
Ooh. No, I'm not trying to impress her. Like, what they're doing is going to get them into trouble.
Okay, let's have you roll. What do you want to roll that with?
It's kind of like she's sort of very passionate about this, that this is going to get them into trouble. Like, they're not very good, and they're definitely think, but they're in over their heads. So
agree.
Plus one. Yeah, with fire. So let's see if I can roll decently. That's always the guess. 5, 6. No, I can't.
So I think that she does that thing where you get that feeling like she's listening to your lecture, and you're kind of starting to go into that full, like, teacher mode presentation. And there is that moment when you lift your brush up to kind of draw back and as if to make an example. And I think she's nodding, and then whoosh, she runs off into the woods away from you, clearly having not heard a word you said.
That one is going to pay.
Chalu, may I assume that it's at this moment that you return back to the others?
Absolutely. I was thinking the same thing.
Okay. Daming, Sangtian, Heartless, you'll see Chalu kind of come back out of the woods.
Dusting ourselves off. Well, that was a bit more excitement than I wanted this morning.
Evening. It's good to see that you're uninjured, my friend. What happened that these four were able to catch you unawares like that?
Oh, it's bandits in this area just have such cunning techniques. That's why I was so worried about them. I didn't realize they were going to pull a double hoodwink, making us think, oh, clearly they're in the woods. No, they're on the roads. No, they are actually, no, really, they're actually in the woods. They get so cunning these days.
Yes, it's true. We should not presume that simply because someone has turned to banditry that they are not also wise in the martial arts.
Yes, I agree. And also, they were saying something about, you know, they did one of those villain monologues right before you showed up. They were talking about spirits gathering in this area. I found it all very interesting, but I don't exactly know what they were referring to. Although this area was plagued by some weir tigers in the past.
That's a strange concern for bandits.
So this is recent, they said? That's very hopeful.
Well, it sounds like spirits are on their way here, is what they were thinking. Something is coming here. And I think they thought it was you, Daming.
They thought that I was a spirit.
Or had some kind of spirit powers, clearly. I think they were planning to use me to get to you. Do you have any history, any family history of maybe one of your parents or grandparents might have been a god, maybe?
I'd never considered it. What a strange thought. It seems doubtful. It seems more likely that these bandits were simply mistaken.
Well, you have to admit there is a certain kind of magnetism to you. I mean, I don't want to be too forward about it, but
you see Daming blush a bit and turn away.
And the music pauses right there when he blushes. And then there's a shift in key to something a little bit more romantic themed.
Very good.
Song Tian, Heartless Dandan, it's such a pleasure to see you again.
Indeed.
Although circumstances could certainly be more friendly. Banditry just rife in these hills, wouldn't you know?
Yes.
We're glad to be here for you, my friend.
And I am in your debt. And so is Da Ming. Because they were clearly going for him.
Can I look at the remains of the trap? Yes. She kind of looks at it and says, oh, okay. Well, it was skillfully put together. So I could see why it was, it could have slowed Daming down.
I think Daming would like to study this trap so he knows how to, evade it in the future.
Absolutely.
Since they're going after him.
Let's do this, put a bond with Spirit Hunter on your sheet, kind of to represent you looking at this and kind of studying the trap.
All right. Spirit
And I assume you all will gather together to head on the road then?
We'll travel together.
Yep.
So the four of you will gather yourselves together and begin your travels on towards this place where the Children of Twilight are. I think that when you arrive there, you will see there are clearly people that are members from each of the three sects who are here in their various colors and outfits. There are students clearly gathering in their places to go through trials and tests and preparations for things, for perhaps being accepted. And of course, there's the classic, town and village food stalls and carts and things as you four of you come in through town. And we'll see, like, this is a very strange kind of place for you, Heartless, this very modern city and sects and so on. What's your reaction to this?
Everything is filthy. It's filthy, filthy, filthy. I mean, like, I worry for my ink stick. It's so filthy, and it's made of soot. So it's just, I suppose it's because it's new and rough, and I haven't been on the, what's the word for it? The edge of civilization in such a long time.
Okay.
There, I'm trying to be thoughtful about it, but
Sure.
mostly I just keep wrinkling my nose. So,
And song, this kind of place, this kind of travel, what's your reaction to it? Are you more excited, more
yeah,
nervous? Like,
I
what's
think he's
your.
excited and nervous and he's excited and distracted and curious, and he's wandering off from his friends a lot. I think people are pulling his friends are pull have to pull him back by the sleeve every once in a while because he'll wander off to a stall to look at something. And so he's overstimulated, I think, at the moment, and distracted.
Yeah, I think you'll catch, a whisper of music, and suddenly your attention is drawn over that way before the four of you kind of gather up, walking on towards the center part of this. Chalu, what about you? What is your reaction now that we're in this kind of place?
I've been wandering again for about a year, but coming to a place like this, it's like coming home, but not to home. Being around people and gathering and the excitement, there's a I'm feeding off of the energy here.
Oh, it is delicious, delicious here. Though there's something else, a weird pulsation in the air here. Dao Ming, you're a wanderer. Do you, but is a city a place you're familiar with, less familiar with? What's your reaction?
Yeah, I think I mean Da Ming has a real preternatural sense for the like the best inn in the area. So he maybe has been here before, but if not, it's been a while. He is it makes a beeline for kind of the nicest accommodations, and is starting to haggle with the proprietor over how much it will cost to have a nice meal there.
Yeah, absolutely. Get yourself a little bit of some treats there, the nice place, food and so on, as the others are kind of watching along with the meditation. The four of you will find yourselves towards the center of this gathering. The sects have clearly marked out different areas with tents and things like that to kind of separate out. And you will see that there are clearly senior members, a handful from each of the three mountains, who are standing very much to the center of this estate courtyard, and are clearly maintaining some kind of barrier. They're seated there meditating. You can see that there are marks on the ground, and in the center of it is an enormous rectangular shape. It is covered in cloth, but I think the ripples of the wind on it, of this beautiful deep blue cloth, suggest that underneath it is some kind of enormous iron cage. And I think we'll see that cage maybe vibrate a little as all of you arrive and are kind of watching it. And I think that's where we're going to start up next time. Sound okay? If you rolled a miss, mark XP for the miss. Because it's first session, we'll give you another 3 XP to mark. I don't think anybody marked in your conflict, but we'll get some of that next time. As sisters and brothers and all sorts of folk arrive on scene. Sound good? Let's do a quick stars, but also like wishes, things you definitely want to see for your characters coming up here. Like things you want to lean into as we go along. Heartless, can I start with you?
Sure. So stars. I have to say that these are the most tight entanglements that I've ever had in a game of Farsi Within. I am super jazzed to see how this all falls out because we are up in each other's business. So this is great. I really like it. Let's see here. I also really like the thing that if you look across the sheet, the one thing that none of us have invested in at all is metal, which is essentially a control calculation reflection. So we are not we're not the most contemplative group of people. So again, another fine set of things. I love your characters. I love the pictures that you picked for them. I love the pictures you picked for your NPCs. For me, that's always a very exciting part is getting the cast together at the beginning of the game, and I just am looking forward to seeing all of this roll out. So those are my stars.
Okay.
My wishes. I really one of the things is that I'm going to have to figure out essentially make that space for my fate bound so that A, they're there, we're aware of them in some ways that they are at risk or not, depending on how they're placed and stuff. It's a big part of the game, I mean, of the move. So that's a thing that I have to be
Yeah.
careful with and cognizant of.
Let's definitely next time make sure that we get that name on the table and playing around. Song Tian.
Just on that topic right there, stars to Sherry for creating that character and giving me such a great triangle right away with Heartless Dundun. That feels like a lot of fun. I can't wait for him to show up so bad things can happen. And Sherry, I really like that you're playing a celestial, but you have this kind of unsavory quest that you're willing to do whatever you need to get those bezoars, including following me around until bad stuff happens. So I really like that. Kevin, I loved how Chow I love that that Chow got trapped immediately. And the slippery fox immediately got trapped. That just I thought was perfect. And I'm glad you had the comeuppance with your jailer immediately afterwards. That was nice. And I like the kind of almost trickstery, slithery kind of quality to the character. That was fun. And Daming, I am looking forward to spying on you. I don't know exactly. I feel kind of hapless right now. My character is suddenly emerging as kind of hapless. I don't think he's going to be very good at the spying part of this whole mission. So I'm looking forward to blundering that and seeing how it happens with that entanglement. So thanks for setting up that entanglement. Or no, I set up that entanglement, but thanks for playing along. So I'm looking forward to that. In terms of wishes, oh, and thank you, Lowell, for helping me out with entanglements. and giving me suggestions, because that is kind of a dicey part for me.
Yeah,
It
no, I certainly get that.
feels like a pressure cooker sometimes, and there's just so many of them. When I look at the page, it's like, oh, which one is going to be the most interesting? So, but I am, like Sherry said, I'm happy with the tightness of all the entanglements and all the everything that's going on. So, yeah, the only wish I have is to what's his name, Ganfei, for him to show up to see how these entanglements start playing out between us. So,
That sounds good. That sounds a good approach to that. Chao Lu.
Yeah, it stars to just opening with a miss and just seeing where that takes us. To echo Sherry's, this group is chaos. And I forgot what it's like to have to tell a lie every minute. But it's fun and exciting, and it's mentally challenging in a really fun way. I am super excited to see more from the Celestial. We've got such interesting playbook choices. We've got a cursed, a celestial, a fox spirit, and then we've got the gambler. And like the dynamic, the group dynamic, I think is going to be really exciting. So it's a star for the choices that people made, but also a wish to see the excitement that comes out of that. I feel like in Shansha, there's oftentimes like these like macro factional conflicts, not just sectarian, but also the celestial bureaucracy versus the demons. And I'm really curious to see if that's going to play out here. I really like how Songtian actually is kind of the quiet, broody one of the group. And I'm really curious to see what will make him get loud, as it were. But that might just be Ganfei. And a wish then, something that I think I really want to lean into is there is this it's there. There's a sense of nostalgia with Chao Lu that almost instantly started coming out when some of the names started coming out, when the Weir Tigers were mentioned. And I think that's going to be something that I'm hoping to lean into with this character, almost sort of like there's the Frieren anime that is out, where you have this sort of multi-generational sort of story going on. And I wonder if that's going to be an important thing
That's
here.
a really interesting idea. I hadn't thought about that. That's really great.
I mean, Children of Twilight came from Ash and Twilight, so we're planting seeds there for it. I'm wondering just how strong it's going to be here. So those are my thoughts.
Awesome. And Da Ming.
I think it's kind of stars all around for I think you, like everyone has said, I think creating a group of characters that vibes really well, and I've made it really easy for me to come up with some ideas for a character, even though I didn't really have anything coming into it. I think everyone's ideas built on each other in a really fun way, and I think stars to Lowell and Kevin for making the decision to bring back elements of this setting and this character that had been in a previous game. Despite having not played in that game and not knowing anything about the setting, I think you guys did a really good job of introducing elements of the character and of the setting that were kind of added to the verisimilitude and the kind of the depth of the setting without being making being a barrier to those of us who hadn't played in it before. So I thought
Good.
that was very cool. And Yes, I said already, but stars to the group for coming up with really fun entanglements that I'm excited to see play out. In terms of stars, I'm looking forward to just a lot of melodrama and different elements of those entanglements coming out in future sessions.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks everybody so much. We got through character creation, got some interesting stuff set up. I'm looking forward to playing things out. I'm going to stop the recording.